The Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this all quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory, the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, convict our hearts this morning so that our love for you, so that our desire to follow you may overflow. In your name we pray. Amen. Who do people say that I am? What do the polls show this morning about how I'm doing in the world? We don't know why Jesus asked the question, but if you're a public figure, it's probably a good idea to know what people are thinking. What do they think about what you're doing? Who do people say that I am? Deanna pointed out that Jesus was told, well, John the Baptist, come back from the dead, or Elijah. Remember, there's an old Jewish belief that Elijah will return, or maybe one of the prophets like Isaiah or Jeremiah. That's who people say that you are. But who do you say that I am? Maybe Jesus was just setting up that question, you know? Maybe it was a lead-in to get them thinking. Who do you say that I am? And as always, it's Simon Peter who is the first to respond. Now, who do you say that Jesus is? I propose that that is the most important question you'll ever be asked. Who do we say that Jesus is? And I think it's actually a two-part question when you get down to it. And I think a lot of erstwhile church members and would-be Christians skip right over part A of the question to get to part B. Now, the way that those two questions are put together is sometimes in evangelical churches phrased like this, sometimes in our church too. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? You've heard that question. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Now, the second part of that question is a gimme, isn't it? Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? You betcha. I'm not going to hell. I want a friend in heaven, right? Absolutely. Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah. What a friend I found in Jesus. And it's easy to do that on Sunday morning. It really is easy on Sunday morning because we sing about Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name, the preacher drones on about what a great guy Jesus is, and it's great. Everything's A-OK. We're all on board. We're all on board. Now, if I sound cynical saying that, I do sometimes sound cynical, I know that. I'm not. I spent a lifetime of Sundays in church, and almost every one of those Sundays was well worth my being here. There's not a place I'd rather be than in God's house. For a day in the house of the Lord is better than 1,000 years elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than live in the tents of wickedness. There's no better place to be than here. Wonderful to be in God's house, to sing and praise and celebrate our redemption from sin and death. God is good. All the time. God is great. And Christ Jesus brings us home again. That's what part B of the question implies. Who do you say that I am? Retired Bishop Will Willimon once preached, and these are not his exact words, they're mine. Jesus Christ calls you to the altar on your knees, but he doesn't intend for you to stay there. Right? Woe unto you if you stay there, if you don't grow and change. So sometimes we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, our Savior, but we forget to give our lives to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus says. Jesus calls us to discipleship, not to membership. To devotion, which gets us into motion. To prayer, which is fulfilled in living justice and generously and compassionately. So Jesus doesn't just save us from, he saves us for. He doesn't just save us from our anxiety and our guilt and our sin, but he saves us for lives of compassion and forgiveness and love. Who do you say that I am? Is Jesus Christ our Sunday morning Redeemer, or is he the Lord of our lives? Now, the lectionary readings over the past couple of weeks have had an awful lot to say about the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees, and we've talked about that a lot, and you're sick of hearing about it, and I'm sick of talking about it. But I'm going to say one more thing about it, and then I won't say anything more until 3 years from now when we get into this cycle again. Another aspect of that conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees, or at least some of the Pharisees, is that some of them wanted to build a wall around the holy and protect it from the secular and the profane. This is holy, this is profane, right? This is the church, that's the world. And it seems as though that some of them had forgotten Solomon's great prayer that we read a couple of weeks ago. No house could contain you, not even the heavens and the earth could contain your greatness. Jesus remembered that. Jesus hadn't forgotten. He remembered that God is everywhere and holiness can't be walled in, even in a week like this when we've seen so much wickedness and hatefulness. But sometimes people do try to put a wall around what is good and holy. Washing your hands before meals is holy for the Pharisees and for the Jews. Not washing your hands is profane or not holy. Now the Lord Jesus, being a devout Jew, would have agreed that it is a fitting act to show reverence for God by washing our hands before eating what God has placed before you. On the other hand, because God has created everything, everything is already overflowing with holiness, whether or not your hands get washed. It's not the end of the world if you forget, in other words. Kids, don't listen to this. Wash your hands before you eat. But holiness is not in the washing of hands. It's in grateful hearts that show reverence to God for providing the good things that we have. That's holiness, right? And it's not just in that ritual, it's in the whole life. I think for Christians, there's kind of an equivalent that I saw a while back. It was the Keep Christ in Christmas campaign. Remember that? That's a good sentiment, right? Christmas is not about stuff. Not about stuff. We shouldn't be carried away with stuff. But I truly believe, and Jesus might say, amen, amen, I tell you, that you cannot take Christ out of Christmas, no matter what people do, right? Christmas is wherever Christ and his love is born into human hearts. And you can't take Christ out of Christmas. It just doesn't happen. Christmas either is or it isn't. You either celebrate it or you don't. That is to say, God is everywhere, and everything God touches has been touched by holiness. You don't have to draw a line around it. You don't have to defend it. And you certainly can't leave it behind in church on Sunday morning. Holiness, grace, goodness just shows up because God shows up. It's in the world. And the world is where Christians are supposed to be. It's a little like the order of unordered grits that I heard a preacher tell about. You know that story? Grits? You know the grits story? Yeah, I was told a preacher I heard tell it was talking about the nature of God's grace at the time. A trucker from way up north was on a long haul through the South. Apparently he'd never been in the South before. He was getting deeper and deeper into rebel territory. Maybe it was down in Georgia way. And he'd driven all night, and he was dead tired, and he was starving. And he'd been thinking for the last couple of hours about what he's going to have for breakfast. So he pulled into a truck stop, and the waitress came up. "What do you all have for breakfast?" she said. And she's pouring coffee then, even before he'd asked for it. And he thought about this for a long time, right? He said, "I'm going to have country ham, 3 fried eggs, potatoes, and biscuits." He was ready. He said, "Coming right up." She went away. About 5 minutes later, she came back with this enormous platter of food. You know, fried country ham, 3 eggs over easy, a mountain of mashed potatoes, biscuits that were slathered in butter. This is the South, right? Slathered in butter. And a huge puddle of gray stuff. And she put the platter down in front of him. And he said, "What's this?" And she said, "What's that?" He said, "What's this gray stuff?" And she said, "Why, honey, them's grits." And he said, "I didn't order any grits." She said, "Nobody orders grits. Grits just comes." And thus the preacher said, "Nobody orders grace. Grace just comes. Holiness just comes. The world is holy because God has made it that way. And Christians are expected to embody that holiness in the world. At Natick days, at school, at work, in our homes, in doing good to those who hate us, in the thoughts we think and the words we speak and what we do and how we spend our money and how we treat the cashier at the drugstore and one another in our church. Who do you say that I am? The plain truth is we either answer yes with our lives, with all that we are, or not at all." Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you have brought us into your church, and we're really glad to be here today. But you're not going to let us stay here. You expect us to go out from this place and make a difference in the world. You expect us to be the good news to other people. You expect us to embrace our enemies and try to show them love. You expect us to give ourselves and take up our cross. Lord, it is a lot to ask. Give us the faith and the strength and the love so that we may be your people. In your name we pray. Amen.